From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here saying hello and welcome in the Savior's name to our gospel broadcast. It's good that you're tuning in, and I hope that you'll continue listening for the next 15 minutes as we let the Bible speak. Our preacher today is the Reverend Ivan Foster, and he's commencing a new series on the sayings of the Savior on the cross. And here he is.
Welcome to our gospel program. In a moment, we will be playing another extract from the sermon I preached some time ago on the subject, Has Man a Soul, and Is There a Hell? We are offering a free copy of the tape to anyone who contacts us. We're going to be commencing a series of studies on the seven sayings of the Lord Jesus on the cross. How precious are the words spoken by any loved one just prior to their death? How much more precious, therefore, are those words spoken by the Lord Jesus before He died on the cross for our sins? Perhaps some of you have never realized that we possess the words of Christ spoken on the cross. Well, we do, and I hope you will tune in over the next few weeks as we study them. Now, here is that extract from the sermon that we are featuring this month. We are considering the fact that man has a soul as well as a body. The body is the lesser element of our being, the least important element of our being. The most important element of our being is our soul. We say some pretty strong things in our full sermon because we're answering the blasphemous and foolish notion that man doesn't have a soul and there is not a hell. If you would like to hear the full tape, we're offering it free. Please contact us. Now, here's that extract that we promised.
The body is of less importance than the soul. Don't you understand that? Oh, men and women, that's a vital truth. The Bible shows that man's body is not the important aspect of his being, but his soul is the important aspect. Do you live in the light of that truth? Does that truth govern you when you make a decision? Do you make it in the light of this truth? How will this affect my soul? I know how it will affect my body. I know what the outcome will be as a result of this deal I'm making, of this decision I'm making. I know what the outcome will be for my body. It'll be more comfortable. It'll be better off. It'll be more pampered. I'll be more surrounded by pleasures and comforts. But what about the soul? What will the impact be on the soul? Now, if you don't take into consideration what the impact will be on the soul of the decisions that you take, then you're living as if you haven't got a soul. If you go into the shop with your wife, you say, could I have some of those, please, and some of those, and some of those? Thank you very much. And now to go again. And the wife says, well, what did you get me? Oh, never thought about you. Never thought a thing about you. It's not very encouraging to the wife. And she discovers that you go in there to the old shop and you never think a thing about her. You're thinking about yourself. And you like this and you like that and you like the other thing and I'll have some of them. But you never think of her. You never think of what she might like. Well, there are those who thus live as if they hadn't got a soul, because every decision is made only with the thought of the body. But the body is the lesser element. It's the least important element. I want to give you three proofs of this.
We will have a further extract from that sermon, In the Will of the Lord. Now we're going to turn to the Word of God. The subject is the seven sayings of Christ upon the cross. And the first of those sayings is found in Luke chapter 23 and the verse 34. We're going to read just a few verses to get the context. We'll begin at verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. We must never forget or be mistaken about the identity of the one who died at Calvary. The Bible makes it very plain. He was Emmanuel. He was God manifest in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the verse 19, this matter is made very plain to us, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Note those words, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. You may well ask the question, how did the eternal God die? How did he suffer? How did that come about? Philippians chapter 2, beginning at the verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, when Christ claimed that he was God, he was not taking that which did not belong to him. He was indeed God manifest in the flesh, and as God the Son, he was equal in glory and power and majesty with God the Father and God the Holy Ghost. We continue, verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, then, was God, manifest in the flesh. The Son of God took into union with his divine nature, spotless, perfect human nature, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And he did that in order that he might suffer and die for his people upon the cross. Peter further explains the purpose of the Savior's death in his first epistle, the chapter 2, verse 22, and it's speaking of Christ here, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That's Peter's explanation of the purpose that Christ was pursuing upon the cross. In the next chapter, 1 Peter chapter 3, And the verse 18, he goes on and he says this: "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." There you have it. That's the purpose for which the Saviour died upon the cross. And at the cross, amidst his sufferings, the Lord Jesus Christ uttered seven sayings. As I've already stated, the last words of men are usually treasured. The last words of loved ones are especially treasured. How much more so the last words spoken by Christ upon the cross. And the first of these sayings is found here in Luke chapter 23 in the verse 34. From his incarnation, Christ had known that rejection, cruelty, and injustice would face him. And now here he is, hanging, dying on the cross, as the result of a most infamous and wicked plot. And yet he speaks forgiveness. What amazing grace this is, men and women. Oh, I tell you this, there is forgiveness with Christ for the greatest of sinners. Paul the Apostle said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Are you saved this evening? Do you know the power of Christ's blood to cleanse? Have you entered into the experience of that which Christ, by his death, purchased for his people? Listen again to the words of our text. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I want to look at four things in this prayer of the Lord Jesus. I'll not be able to do it this week. I will give you an outline, and you can join with us again next week to look further at this subject. Four things, then, in the verse. Here is a lesson about forgiving our enemies. Here we see that ignorance is no excuse for sin. Then thirdly, we see the chief need of men. And fourthly, if those who sin in ignorance need forgiveness, how much more those who sin knowingly? Our time is gone. Will you tune in next week as we begin to look at the first of these sayings more closely? May God have mercy upon you and bless you and cause you to seek him for salvation. God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.